Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is February 17th of the 2016 year. Garrett here with Brad and Wade.
Hello. There was a pause there. Kind of had to figure out what the year was.
I don't know. I have no idea when I am.
Exactly. All
right. See?
He doesn't do dates. I don't.
I don't.
Or English, apparently.
I'm many much not good at the English and the dates. You fuckers.
You set it up, I swing the bat.
Oh, shit. So how are we doing today?
Good now.
We're doing wonderful. We're having a lot of fun at your expense.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
How's the bow?
The what?
The bow.
We're not talking about that.
How's the drone?
Drone's fine. Still in one piece-ish.
Awesome. Have you flown it lately?
Negative.
That's why it's still in one piece.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a negative Ghost Rider.
It's a and shelf ornament now.
I replaced the camera in my GoPro a week or so ago, but I got a cheap lens. Not camera. I replaced the lens. But for some reason, the new lens doesn't focus. You got to twist it in a certain way until it focuses. Well, the more you twist it in, the clearer it gets. But when it maxes out its threads, it's still out of focus. So my focus needs more focus.
The wrong one?
I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, I got a cheap one from Amazon, and I've seen good reviews on it, and that's all fine and well. And I went through the rigorous process of tearing the whole camera apart. The benefit, though, is now that I've broken the seal on the original stuff, I can swap out lenses pretty easy. I just have to find a lens that will work.
Was it for a different model GoPro?
It shouldn't have been. I'm pretty sure it was for the model that I have.
Okay.
But
I just wasn't sure if the focal length changed.
I believe
when
it
they
does.
Went to the bigger sensors.
I believe different ones do have variants.
Yeah.
Between your resolutions and that kind of stuff. Let's see here. My orders. I'm looking it up
so
right
how
now.
How are you doing, Wade?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Just wonderful.
Yep. Everything's running about perfectly well right now. Think about taking a couple days off to get some things back in order.
Yeah, so the lenses for the GoPro Hero 3 and the Hero 3 Plus. It threads in fine, it just doesn't focus. So,
wonder if your focus broke.
No, because, I mean, as you twist it in further and further, it gets clearer and clearer, but it just never quite gets to the point that you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other companies out there that sell different lenses of different, I guess, apertures, perhaps. Maybe that's the word. I don't know. I'm not a camera guy. That offer a lot of different capabilities. So
sure.
Someday. What about you? What's going on?
Not much. We went to the movies over the weekend, and then Valentine's Day, my wife and I went out for a lunch-dinner combo.
Nice.
We decided to beat the crowds and go halfway between.
Nice.
Ended up going out for Thai. It was really nice. Movies, we saw Kung Fu Panda 3.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm kidding. I'm not sorry. I was tempted to see it, but
it was good.
Good. Wade and I went and saw Deadpool.
There it is.
So.
Oh my God. We'll talk about that later.
Yes. Yes, we will. Let's see what else happened over the weekend. Had a long weekend, but nothing really of note. Try to keep it pretty calm. Deadpool was definitely the highlight.
Well, then Sorry. Let's talk about it.
Wade, anything else to add?
Not without going into movies first.
Okay. All right. Well, then, movies it is. This is probably going to be a quick podcast tonight since we're only a few minutes in and we're already into the movies. Three to talk about this week. Number one, The Witch at 87%. This is rated R. with Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Ineson in the exquisitely made and terrifying new horror film. The age-old concepts of witchcraft, black magic, and possession are innovatively brought together to tell the intimate and riveting story of one family's frightful unraveling in New England's wilderness circa 1630. Upon threat of banishment by the church, an English farmer leaves his colonial plantation, relocating his wife and five children to a remote plot of land on the edge of an ominous forest, within which lurks an unknown evil. So
this is a horror movie? It was 86%, you said?
It's at 87%, yeah.
Holy hell. That's quite rare.
Is this on your short list, Wade?
It is now, if it's at 86%.
Yeah. Most horror movies don't do too well in the critics' eyes. So maybe because this is kind of a period piece and less maybe, I mean, I dare to say supernatural, but, you know, it's not like a ghostly type thing, it seems like. It's just more the magical deal, which obviously is supernatural in a sense, but it's a little bit different. I don't know. Well,
I still like what they did with the synopsis there. It was like, look, there's an evil. We're not telling you what it is, but you probably know what it is because of the title. But still, it's a bit mysterious, which is what I've always said. Mankind fears what it doesn't know. So, yay.
Yeah. So, yeah, not one on my list, but maybe on Wade's. Number two this week is Race. This is not given any critic rating as of yet. It is PG-13 with, I believe it's Stefan James, Jason Sudeikis, Jeremy Irons, and William Hurt. Race is based on the incredible true story of Jesse Owens, the legendary athletic superstar, whose quest to become the greatest track and field athlete in history thrusts him onto the world stage of the 1936 Olympics, where he faces off against Adolf Hitler's vision of Aryan supremacy. Race is an enthralling film about courage, determination, tolerance, and friendship, and an inspiring drama about one man's fight to become an Olympic legend.
And he succeeded.
Yeah.
Because they're making a movie about him.
Yeah.
Or did make a movie about him, sorry.
That's right. Number three this week is Risen. Joseph, I want to say Fiennes, but it could be Finesse, Tom Felton, and Cliff Curtis. This is PG-13. In the first 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ is told through the eyes of an agnostic Roman centurion charged by the Pontius Pilate. I'm hopefully pronouncing this crap right.
He doesn't speak Greek. It's okay. We can give him for this one.
To investigate rumors of the risen Jewish Messiah and locate the missing deceased body of Jesus of Nazareth. In order to subdue an imminent rising in Jerusalem. During the centurion's mission, his doubts of such a supernatural occurrence peel away as the encounters of the apostles and other historic biblical characters, and bears witness to the legendary stories, events that followed the resurrection. That was a mouthful. a great mystery unfolds during Centurion's quest to find the body, and he is deeply affected by his first-person investigation as his previous beliefs on the matter are forever altered based on what he's now witnessed. So, yeah, that is not on my list to watch ever.
Or mine.
So there. So that does it for upcoming releases, at least from the widespread standpoint. In the box office this week, we have what could be considered an upset. Star Wars is out of the top four. Deadpool takes number one at $132.4 million.
Dude, last I checked, I thought it was like 135.
Well, this was as of midday today. It was 132.4 domestic. Kung Fu Panda pulled in 19.8. How to Be Single pulled in 17.9 and Zoolander 2 at 13.8. Wade.
Yes?
Deadpool.
Hilarious.
Spoiler free.
Deadpool takes box office by storm with $135 million revenue over the holiday weekend. The best for a rated R movie of the month. It's a very qualified statement, I agree.
Yeah. It was the best movie that came out this week. I mean, it's stupid. Anyway.
But anywho, very, 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 very funny movie. I believe we were both laughing almost the entire way through.
Okay, so here's what I've been telling people when they ask me if it's good. First of all, you have to understand who's asking and if it's going to be their demographic of movie. If you're into or can tolerate gore.
Yep.
If you can tolerate violence.
Yep.
If you can tolerate language.
Yep.
And if you can tolerate a pretty erotic sex scene.
And
you will love this movie.
And if you could tolerate some pretty sexual jokes as well.
Yes. This is by no means a flirting with the line adult movie. This is a 100% adult.
R.
Correct.
It's not a, we could have cut one more thing and made it a PG-13.
No. Not even close.
It earned its R, honestly.
It probably earned its R in the first 15 seconds.
It did.
What I found hilarious hilarious and questionable at the same time was that this movie makes some pretty blatant jabs directly at Fox 21st Century or 20th Century Fox Studios. 20-something Century Fox. Like, they're not subtle. And I thought, wow, like, that's your production company. That's interesting. Now, I heard that the budget actually was... they ended up with about $50 million to do this movie. I heard that they were supposed to have more, and Fox cut it. And now you look at the box office for the first week, and it's like, well, I mean, good on them for pulling in that much money with a limited budget compared to other superhero, you know, type movies.
Yeah. But,
yeah, well, that was...
If the criteria mentioned prior sounds like it's down your alley, then you should go see this movie.
But, you know, that brings up the conversation I had with you earlier in the car where, you know, this movie was only greenlit because of public interest.
Yes.
You know, and we spoke about this and said, why can't we have more of this? Why can't we have, like, companies put out, here's a bunch of movie trailers.
So the conversation we had, Brad, is that what if movies were Kickstarters? What if the production company released a trailer?
Yep.
And said, this is the movie we want to make. And you as the populace could then go fund that movie. If you pledged $1, thanks for your money. If you pledged 10 to 12, okay, here's a movie ticket. If you pledged 50, here's a movie ticket and a shirt or a poster or something like that.
Or a DVD.
You know, whatever. Or, yeah, a DVD copy upon DVD release. It's not going to eliminate poorly made movies. You're always going to get questionable writing or bad whatever.
Yep.
But you, as the populace, would be able to say more or less what you want to see. The only downside with that is if you get only a certain kind of criteria, a certain demographic of people funding things like this, you're going to get a very skewed output from Hollywood.
Well, and sure. The whole thing with that is you can say, it's like, well, if you don't like this movie, they're offering you the ability to, you know, voice your opinion. So saying if you're right there, if you're not liking the stuff that's coming out, you have the ability to change that.
Yeah.
So it's that part there. That's the argument.
Such a plan is not a bad idea, but you're still not going to become independent of studios or deep pockets. There are movies that have done crowdfunded starts to gauge interest and were able to raise, I want to say it was somewhere in the neighborhood of a quarter or a third of the budget required.
Yeah.
But that's like right there. That's like, you know, that's what I could ask for. You know, it's the public that are saying, this is the movie we want to see. And
right.
That's the one that's being filtered into the quote unquote deep pockets desk.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
So, it was an idea. I don't typically see movies twice in theaters because of the cost.
But I
do plan on seeing this one again. our mom was out of town when we went and saw it. She wants to see it, and I am... This is one of those movies. I mean, Star Wars would have been the same way, too, if the situation called for it. But this is a movie that I would sit through in theaters again and probably will.
Well, it's always... It's kind of fun to do that because you will mainly, you know, catch things you didn't see before.
Yeah, and that's fine. But usually with the price point to deal with that is not justifiable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I might be doing that this weekend. While being out of town. Mom and I are going out to our vacation place to get some things taken care of. There's a movie theater nearby. It's where we saw one of the Hunger Games, the most recent Hunger Games movie. So maybe we'll break away from what we got going on and watch Deadpool.
Hunger Games, putting out the fire.
I still haven't seen that.
That's right. You were not with us. You have not seen it. So,
up in smoke.
Yep. Deadpool, if you're an adult and you want and you like adult content, have at it.
If you like lewd humor and graphic violence and in-your-face nudity, well, go see it.
Well, that's another thing. I heard that somebody said there's going to be a full frontal nudity, male and female.
Did not see that.
Yeah, that's not there. So if you have any aversion to that, fret not. Your virgin eyes will stay intact.
No, they won't. You're going to see some boobs.
Well, you'll see some boobs.
I wonder if what they've done differently, if anything, for international cuts. Because I thought I had read somewhere that Canada rated it for 13+. Wow. It wasn't an R. I could be wrong on that, but I thought that this one was, because there was some discussion in the forums over, you know, I don't get why you Americans are so worked up over this. It's only a 13+ movie. What's the problem? So I wonder what got cut, or if they're just that much more
blasé.
Wasn't the word I was going for. Laid back, I suppose, about their ratings. I don't know.
They might be.
Nobody always has a tendency in this society to be like, oh, well, this corrupted our child. Well, you should have been actually making sure, you know, that was what the content your kid was watching.
I know, obviously, just culturally in Europe, sex is nowhere near the quote-unquote taboo that it is in American society culture. And so I don't know if Canada is the same way, in which case, you know, the what's the big deal? There's one major sex scene. You could argue that there might be a couple, but one of them's fairly hardcore. And that's about it. So, you know, if that's the case and that's the criteria, then yeah, it's a 13+. But with the language and the other violence, I don't know how other countries rate that stuff.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's the story there.
It was cool. Funny. If you're easily offended, don't go see it. If you can stand that, go see it. That's homework for you.
Lock the kids in the trunk. They'll be fine.
That's extra credit, not on my assignment.
All right, so that being done, business handled, let's jump into the news.
Not yet.
No. Oh, that's right. Okay. You have Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Sit down, shut up.
All right. I am sitting down. I'm not shutting up. I will drink my beer.
Okay. You drink your beer. I'll drink my Jack and Coke.
I'll just sit here menacingly.
Menacingly?
Stare at screen, dude. Kung Fu Panda. It definitely felt like movie 3 in the franchise.
Okay.
You know, same characters, maybe feeling a little tired, trying to find new places to go with them. It was well done. It was. We enjoyed it. I'm not trying to say that it was not enjoyable or boring or anything like that. We definitely enjoyed it. But, you know, you could tell it was movie three.
Sure.
But, that being said, had some really funny parts. I think it is. It did the franchise well. Definitely recommend it, especially if you have kids, and especially if they are into Kung Fu Panda anyway.
Yeah, then it wasn't even a topic of discussion at that point.
Hey, kids, want to go see Panda? Yep. All right.
It's definitely a good way to waste an hour and a half.
I thought you were going to say like $30, but all right.
You weren't disappointed, but you hoped there would be more.
Yes.
Okay. That's one thing I will say with Deadpool. Some of the narrative to me got a little slow, and you're itching for some of the reasons you went to the theater. But then when they come back to it, you're like, all right, this is why I'm here.
Yeah, it's that low point. It's that, okay, so you've had to laugh. Now let's let it work out, you know, because you get desensitized by it if it was just all the way through.
Anyway.
Fine. God.
No, I agree with you. That's just one of the points I wanted to make that I didn't get to make before. That's all.
Cool. Roll on, sir. Roll on.
Roll on. Okay, so with that, movies are done. We agree. To the news.
Yes.
Go.
To the news. Big news. Huge news out this week. Apple CEO Tim Cook has posted an open letter to Apple customers in response to an order, not a request, an order from a U.S. federal judge that Apple needs to help with the FBI with cracking one of the iPhones used by one of the San Bernardino shooters. And Apple has said, no, we're not going to. Now, initial knee-jerk reactions, and there are plenty of those all over the internet, just from the headlines. Oh my goodness, Apple supports terrorism, blah, blah. Usual stuff. This is about the bigger picture.
Sorry, if I could stop you right there. You know, it's funny, like, they say, oh yeah, we're not going to hack this phone. And yet people are saying, oh, well, they support terrorism. It's like, yeah, but what if they said, okay, yeah, we'll hack this phone. And it's like, okay, so we can hack this phone and this phone and this phone. Then you people would be sitting there like, oh,
exactly.
My God, Apple are terrorists and they're hacking our phones. It's like,
exactly.
Deal with it. Takes the lesser evil, for God's sake.
So the disadvantage or the one of the downsides, I suppose, to security and encryption is it's an all or nothing thing. Either it is secure or it isn't. There is no halfway, and like you were saying, Wade, it's not a phone-by-phone thing. If they create a tool that allows them to do this, then it works for everyone. It's not just this one phone.
Yep.
It's the universal key, I think we've talked about several times.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a reoccurring theme here, so we won't belabor that point, but, it's not that this is completely altruistic, that they're getting nothing out of this. Obviously, they come out looking like the champions of the people's privacy and, you know, Apple fanboys rejoice. But I have to say it's refreshing to see a company stand up against this overreach and say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to endanger the privacy and security of hundreds of millions of people because you need to get into one phone. And it begs the question, why do they need to do this? I thought we already had all those security systems that were recording everything.
They didn't have the phone like sitting on a table, which is like, oh, okay. What's the password? We don't know. Hack it. No.
Well, but, I mean, we've covered in depth many times all the different programs that the NSA has these people were of foreign descent, surely that's good enough reason for the NSA to be interested. Seems to be for everything else. Shouldn't they already have all the records they need?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other deal, too, is I wonder, you know, what's the need to get into the phone? What information do they think they lack? Or what information, I mean, is there a legitimate reason that they need into it besides the fact that they're the government and we just want access because we're the government?
I think it's a case of trying to piece together these people's personal networks. Who did they talk to? Who did they call? When did they talk to them? You know, any kind of co-collaborators, co-conspirators, that kind of information.
Okay.
But again, I would say, you've already got the laws in place to do this. Subpoena the phone company. Request their call records. You can already do what you say you need to do without Apple needing to break the phone. So, given that, this just smells of overreach, you know. Here's a convenient excuse for us to try and get more power.
Sure.
So, people may disagree with me, and that is obviously your right, but I say good on Apple.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, you know, it doesn't compromise their integrity as a company, and the faith that, you know, the customers should have in the company.
Mm-hmm.
By them standing their ground. If there's not a legitimate reason for them to do this, then, yeah, then they should be fine. Now, if they're being stubborn and deciding, no, we're not going to do this just because, you know, fuck you, government, that may be a little bit different.
Did they come out with, like, a press release for this? Or, well, not a press release, but, like, a statement with this?
Well, from what I saw, the original statement from Apple's policy was that if they're not just going to hand over data, there has to be a court order, or like a subpoena or a search warrant for them to more or less cooperate with the authorities to that point. But this is going a step further and then saying, no, we're not going to do it because of other reasons.
Well, and to be fair and present the whole thing, it's not that Apple is being completely obstinate and uncooperative. They have already been cooperating with the FBI in this case. They have dedicated a couple of Apple engineers just to helping the FBI with what they can. They've received subpoenas. They have cooperated in as much as it is possible to. Now, the request is for them to go above and beyond and to create a specialized tool to break this iPhone. And the issue for this is the iPhone has a password on it. As of iOS 8, iPhones are encrypted by default. So the iPhone has a password and it's encrypted. And it has data protection turned on, which means that the FBI only gets 10 chances to guess this guy's password, or the phone bricks. So they're requesting Apple to create a special tool to get around the fact and allow them to get more than 10 chances to guess. Which breaks the security of the whole thing. If it can be just turned off, then what's the point of having it? It's not secure.
Yep. And if the government can have access to it, then who knows who else would eventually get access to it. And then, like you said, there's no security whatsoever.
Well, and we can play mythical bad guys all day long. If the FBI has it, and we're going to deem that this government request is legitimate, then where do we get to say where political and geographic boundaries start and stop? What happens when China wants to break into an iPhone for legitimate, you know, law enforcement reasons. What happens when Iran wants to break into an iPhone for legitimate law enforcement reasons? You can't do it for one and tell everybody else no.
Yep.
It's an all or nothing thing. Either it's legitimate or it's not. So, you know, I'm glad they've come down on the side of it's not.
It turns out the password is 1234.
I'm sure they tried that one and cursed the guy because now they only have 9 guesses left.
Yep. They're like, okay, what's his birthday? When's his marriage?
Which marriage?
To the wife, I don't know.
Which wife?
The goat.
Jeez.
That's racist and funny.
Wow.
You set me up.
Not really.
Wait, and you knocked it down.
I was just leading up to them being polyamorous, or at least not monogamous.
They kill people. I'm going to use that one.
Nice. Well, Wade, why don't you continue with the reins?
All right. Well, going on, I think it's publishers of the Assassin's Creed, Ubisoft, released a blog earlier on February 11th detailing some things about the Assassin's Creed movie. Now, of course, with Michael Fassbender leading the movie and its release date on December 21st of this year. But what we were really looking into is the third paragraph where they state, "This year we are also stepping back and re-examining the Assassin's Creed franchise. As a result, we have decided that there will not be an Assassin's Creed game in 2016. Since the release of Assassin's Creed Unity, we have learned a lot based on your feedback. We've also updated our development processes and recommended to making an Assassin's Creed a premier world franchise. We are taking this year to evolve the game mechanics and make sure we are delivering on the promise that Assassin's Creed offerings unique and memorable gameplay experiences to make history everyone's playground." So what we're getting at that is there will be no Assassin's Creed game for 2016.
Fine by me.
And people have been saying that that's in that same retrospect, that it's getting samey and it needs to go back to the drawing board in a respect and, well, learn some new tricks.
Well, like I haven't played the last two iterations of Assassin's Creed, so I'm a little bit behind the times.
Yes, you are.
But I am all for a company being able to say, look, we know we've been putting out a game every year. No, we're not proud of the quality that they have been to a point, or at least not proud of the quality of that this one might be. And we want to take a step back to make sure that the game is as good as it can be on multiple levels for you, the fans, and for our dignity as a developer publisher. And you can't really say anything negative about that.
Well, you can. There's no Assassin's Creed this year.
Okay, would you rather have an Assassin's Creed that sucked? Or wait a year and have one that's epic?
Would you rather have an Assassin's Creed that launched this year suck, then have less titles, and then or have less sales, and then Ubisoft going, you know what? We're wiping our hands of this.
No, I'm behind their decision 100%. I have not played the previous to latest one, but I have played Syndicate a little bit. We got it from Redbox.
So you haven't played Unity then?
No, I have not played Unity.
Or Rogue, because they came out the same year under different iterations of console.
Right. No, I haven't played either of those. Black Flag was the last one that I had, and then I rented Syndicate.
Which had, like, from what I hear, I think Garrett, you can probably back me up on this, had not a lot to do with being the assassin. It was like, yo, here's your ship. Go blow other ships up.
No, I mean, it did. It was plenty assassins-based. It just offered that whole different mechanic that allowed you... It had the mobile app. You could do stuff offline. A lot of the stuff was based in the Caribbean. you know, you were mainly a pirate with an assassin kind of backdrop, which is fine. I mean, you have to realize that they're branching the assassin lineage into different cultures around the world, and they have mm-hmm. to tie in that culture and that time period into, you know, the storyline. So,
and as far as it not being very assassin-y, I think I had owned a couple of the other ones, but I was never a fan. Black Flag was the one that got me interested in the franchise.
Interesting.
And that was where I went back. You know, I still haven't finished the campaign, but I got far enough through that it captured my attention, and that was when I GameStop had a special on the first three, and I got them, and I've been stuck in a good way on the first game. I've been playing through that, trying to get, you know, as close to 100% completion as possible, all the side missions and everything, and it was Black Flag that got me into it. Now, that being said, with Syndicate, there was... I'm glad they're taking a break. Let me put it that way. Syndicate looks really good. It plays really good. It's definitely Assassin's Creed. There's some twists to it that are just... they're fun to play. But I'm completely for them not coming out with an Assassin's Creed this year. Take the time off to make the next one not just great, but superb.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
You said you're trying to get 100% on the games, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about flags?
Hate them. Absolutely hate them.
For those of you who haven't played or seen the Assassin's Creed first game, the collectibles are flags. And apparently there's like a bazillion of them.
Yeah, between the different cities and the different sections of the cities and the different factions, I want to say there's a good 400 or 500 flags to collect.
Have fun.
Pain in the ass.
So I will say that the first game, which I picked up right off the bat, I didn't waste any time getting into the Assassin's game. I will admit that it was repetitive. You did the same five yep. tasks in every place that you went.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the game offered the mechanic that if you saw a brick protruding from the side of a building, that was not a skin, that was coded and put there on purpose for you to be able to climb that wall.
Yes.
Or whatever. That blew me away. That level of detail and construction of the world was to that point. It wasn't just, hey, let's just color it differently. It was 3D modeled. It had a purpose.
It didn't just highlight up when you got near it.
How supposedly the historical accuracy of the cities was supposed to be spot on. I mean, they spent forever to map those out. That part blew me away. And I actually really enjoyed the modern storyline, maybe even more so than the ancestral storyline, and was curious where that was going to evolve to throughout the different games.
I agree. I'm at the same, and no spoiler, I know I can get spoilers, and that's old enough to not qualify, I get that, but I've found myself doing the same thing. Like, I'm enjoying the ancestral storyline, but I find myself trying to get through it so I can get back to the present and find out what's going on.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I've got to do another... Well, let's hurry up and get through this mission. Give me the next part of the story.
Yeah, I like how when the first game was released, people complained about how Desmond was such a bland character.
He wasn't bland. That's the point.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. When the first one was released, people were like, yeah, this guy's bland as hell. But, you know, then it was obviously because he was a blank slate to then work upon.
Yeah.
And then have himself and have, you know, his storyline go along with the games in the of the what's the ancestry storylines.
Yep. And I was bummed when it didn't go as far as I thought it could have. But I mean, you still don't get that until the third or plus game. I think Black Flag was one of the first ones that really deviated from the Desmond or Desmond based story.
Yeah, no. Black Flag, it's a entertainment company. Abstergo has morphed into an entertainment company.
Yeah, yeah.
Abstergo? Yeah.
Abstergo. I think the game before that, they were starting to deviate, and then Black Flag was a full deviation from Abstergo Part 1. But Wade, you made a comment about Ubisoft not having as many titles and not selling enough games or whatever, and then canning, you know, major deals. I mean, they've got a few major games coming out. They got Far Cry Primal that is coming out or is out.
I mean, in the Assassin's Creed line, I mean, later on where people, you know, are saying, oh, this is the same thing year after year after year. Of course, the same thing could be said with COD, but, you know, where people just go, screw it, you know, I'm buying this game. It's going to be, there's going to be another one. It's going to be the same thing next year. So that's what I was referring to.
So according to Wikipedia for Ubisoft, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 Assassin's Creed titles. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 plus of those are mobile style games. A couple are for PSP or Vita, some are for iOS. But that's a solid list of titles under one franchise.
Yeah, and you were saying, don't get me wrong, you know, I can see right here they still have The Division, which is in beta right now. Rainbow Six, which is its Siege, it was in beta. I'm not sure if it's out or not. They still have Far Cry Primal. And then they have another one coming out, For Honor, which looks like I'm really interested in about two or three of these games. I mean, they all look quite amazing. So, I tried to get into the Division and the Rainbow Six beta and couldn't remember my password for their god-awful Uplay account thing. I requested multiple times I requested a password refresh and still haven't got the email. So, you know, thanks, Ubisoft, dicks.
So the point is, Ubisoft isn't going anywhere. So just because they're not releasing an Assassin's Creed game this year, 2016, they do have the movie coming out in December. I'm not sure how much of a tie they have to that, though.
They
have to have at least something.
They got to have some royalties to it, yeah.
If I'm looking right here. December 2016. Having already visited the set, we can begin to describe how surreal and exciting the real world halls of the Abstergo. So, I mean, they're doing it, and it's in replicas of the assassin weaponry. So apparently they're going pretty, you know, down the straight and narrow with this.
No, but the point is what's the royalties that Ubisoft has for this, or did they sell it all out to a cinematic production company?
That doesn't say, actually.
Yep.
Cast and crew want to honor the rich lore of the Assassin's Creed and bring a fresh perspective to the ongoing battle between Assassins and Templars that fits the big screen. So, you know, that's fluff right there, but whatever.
Wade, you mentioned Michael Fassbender playing the lead. Also, notable mention, Jeremy Irons is going to be in this. That's probably the two big names here.
Yeah.
Now, I know we were talking about the past titles of Assassin's Creed, and, you know, obviously Ubisoft is looking to the future.
Let me just stop you there really quick.
Go ahead.
Assassin's Creed, the movie, being produced by Ubisoft Motion Pictures Studio.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
distributed by 21st century. Oh, sorry, 20th Century Fox.
Shut up.
All right. Now, you know, and so they're looking towards the future, and we were talking about the past titles, but you know, you guys have played the Assassin's Creed. I don't think I may have played a bit of one or two when Garrett wasn't looking, but whatever.
How dare you?
What do you guys think that they could innovate on? Or with? Or add? Whatever.
A cooperative campaign could be cool.
That would be cool.
You know, they've dabbled ever since Brotherhood of having multiple assassins in the world, but they were all NPCs. I think it was Brotherhood that started allowing you to send your NPCs on missions. It would be cool to have, you know, you create your own sort of assassin's guild with, you know, actual players. And then you could collaborate on either joints going after one target or going after separate targets leading into a primary goal. That could be a fun mechanic.
I would like to see a bounty system.
Everything's DRM anyway. Bounty system could be cool where you have side targets that you don't have to go for, but if you do, there's...
Well, you have, like you said, you have your own guild, and then in that guild you could have a message board, you know, finger quotes there. And obviously the higher the bounty, the higher the mission. And
they kind of had that with the NPC stuff. Trying to get that with real people would be a little tougher.
And as you get more gold, you can upgrade, and this is probably, you know, spitballing here, you can get a better, you know, guild, or, you know, better stuff for your guild to use in, like, a kind of a multiplayer scenario there.
Yeah.
I don't think this is spoilers here, but in Syndicate, there are two assassins.
Yeah, there's the brothers, brother siblings. And sister.
The siblings, okay. I wasn't sure how much of that was released, and I didn't want to give too much away. But yeah, it's the siblings. And you trade off between them. It's not two simultaneously.
Yeah, where she's...
I thought you could choose who you played as.
There's two parallel storylines. You can choose, but you're only one at a time.
Yeah, okay.
And this is where he's, you know, kind of more in the front light where... I'm sorry, I don't know their names. He's more in the front line with the basically gang that he runs, and she's more of the shadow, stealthy, you know,
assassin,
taking care of business assassin. yeah,
she's operating in the shadows, whereas he's more upfront about it.
Yeah, that's from what I got. I have not played the game, but that's what I saw from all the press material from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, you know, anything from you? Anything, Brad? Do you think they could add or improve on? Now, obviously, you've played the most recent one.
I have played parts of it. I think I have to echo Garrett on this one. I've played cooperative campaigns for Halo, and bringing that kind of element to Assassin's Creed I think would be awesome. Even if it was just a two-player online, you know, where you and I could team up and help each other out through the campaign, and, you know, like you said, different targets, or even assisting each other with a target.
Actually, did
one
they
distracts.
Have that?
Not with other players.
No, I think there was. I just think it was...
They had a multiplayer where it was PvP, but not a cooperative story.
There was a cooperative thing. I remember they got a lot of heat because they didn't have a female character model for that.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I remember that. What was that?
Anyway.
Yeah, if you guys go on, I'll look this up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of much else. I guess the next question would be, when in time would the next one take place? You know, with the Desmond stuff, you've got a little bit of modern times, but you had this big, you know, overpowering Abstergo versus the few rogue, assassin folk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and looking back through the games, you had ancient Jerusalem, you had Roman times, you had Renaissance times, you had Da Vinci, you have the Caribbean and the expansion to quote-unquote the New World in America. You had the Native Americans with, what was that one? Was it just Assassin's Creed 3, maybe? Where you're a Native American. Then you have Syndicate. And I'm not sure the Unity and Rogue. I'm not sure where that was a French focus, but I'm not sure what period of time that was. And then wasn't Syndicate still? It was still horse-drawn carriages. Obviously, you had like a Grand Theft Auto vibe about it with that.
It did a little bit.
So the concern is they're kind of running out of eras to kind of base the next game. They could do it in modern times, but then where do you go from there? You create a fictitious futuristic society,
right?
And I mean you're running out of material.
I was correct. It was a controversy for Assassin's Creed Unity. Here's Ubisoft under fire for comments suggesting that creating varied selection of playable multiple characters in Assassin's Creed Unity would create too much work. Has issued a statement on diversity. So yeah, there was actually a.
Okay, but was that a multiplayer character base, or was that campaign character selection?
It was for a multiplayer character selection that there was no female skin choice.
Yeah, you could do a 4-player co-op. I'm looking it up.
Oh, okay. But they were all male characters.
Right.
Plague Doctor or whatever else.
Yeah, his explanation caused E3 week fervor. Former Assassin's Creed 3 animator director Jonathan Cooper, now working on Naughty Dog, argued that extra female animations should only take a day or two to work. So yeah, they were saying like, okay, the Ubisoft was pretty much saying, you know, creating this would be too much work. And then another person came out who worked on Assassin's Creed 3 said, actually, it'd only take about 2 or 3 days. A day or two, sorry, day to do this. So they did actually catch fire for this for that. Yeah, they did have a multiplayer.
That's multiplayer, but that's not necessarily campaign.
Yeah.
That could still have been PvP.
I do remember that it was a missions based, not PvP.
Okay. All right.
Alrighty then. Next.
But yeah, so that's my 2 points. Maybe a cooperative campaign that's sad to say DRM type stuff. Where you got to be logged in and you know, connected in order to continue. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I'm sorry I said it, but so many games are that way anyway. We're not getting away from it. And then the big topic is the time period. When would this game take place? They're running out of key time periods and locations.
And I think they're like mini one, like the ones they're doing on like mobile devices. I think they're still doing games for that, but I think that what they're referring to in this is that they're not doing a mainline Assassin's Creed series game this year. So I think they're actually doing China in like the mobile market.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and the mobile games are done by other studios. They're licensed.
Yeah, they're not Ubisoft Direct. They're
right.
Associated with.
Yes.
So. All right, a quick and dirty one here. Guardians of the Galaxy is in the works, if you're not familiar. Actually, we have a coworker who has family that's working on it. But the director had, I don't want to say leaked, but released a promotional photo showing the primary cast characters in front of kind of a smoky blue background. And Baby Groot is getting a lot of attention on this. Mostly you're seeing just silhouettes against this kind of smoky blue backdrop, but Baby Groot is riding on the shoulders of Drax the Destroyer and holding onto his ear for support. And it's pretty goddamn fucking cute, if I can say that.
I've seen the image actually just recently today. I was like, I'm really surprised they weren't going with like, oh, look, he's back to full size.
Nope.
They're actually going with like, look, he's growing.
Yeah. He's growing,
you know, it takes a long time to grow a tree.
That's true.
It's an alien living tree, but yeah, it's still like, look, cuteness.
Yeah. So as much as everyone loved Baby Groot dancing at the end of movie 1, my daughter has a Funko Pop of that, Baby Groot dolls will be flooding the stores here fairly soon.
first scene opening up, it'll be him doing the moonwalk.
That's right. Also, side mention for the movie, Kurt Russell has been cast on an undisclosed role. They did specify that it will not be Quinn's dad. That aspect of the story will not be addressed in this movie. And Palm, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. I've actually never seen this name before, but Palm Kelmentieff, K-E-L-M-E-N-T-I-E-F-F, is going to be playing a character called Mantis, who apparently is one of a member of Earth's Mightiest Heroes. He's been seen in the Avengers comics and was a frequent partner of the Guardians. So,
God, his real name sounds like an alien name. It's just like, just go with this.
Yeah, just use that. Let's see if I can. I want to see if I can see who it is real quick and see if I can recognize him from anything. Oh, him is a her, first of all.
Shame on me.
Let's take a look. Canadian-born French actress known for her role in the Spike Lee film Old Boy, born in Quebec City.
Yeah, we've never seen that, so can't speak about that.
Yep. Hold, please. I could spell Guardians, right? that's not it. That's not it. Where is it? Come on. Show up.
Garrett's having performance issues.
Welcome to my world.
So what else is new?
Pretty much. Must be Wednesday.
Lack of hump day.
There it is. Movie is forecasted to be coming out 2017. Let's see. She has been in a fair amount of foreign, I say foreign, looks like a lot of French titles. Silhouettes was one. Porn in the Hood. Hello. Old Boy, Rosfit, Hacker's Game, Guardians 2, Borderline, Sleepless Night. So,
She'll be in the brothel.
Big in her area, and this looks like one of the movies that could really help her branch out a little bit. So, I think in Old Boy, though, she played alongside Josh Brolin. So, if that helps anybody out. It's actually a pretty decent cast in that. Samuel L. Jackson, Charlotte Copley, Elizabeth Olsen. So, anyway. Guardians of the Galaxy in the works. If you haven't seen that picture, pull it up. Baby Groot on the shoulders of Drax. It is awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Apple Encryption. Now we need a new creed. Oh, wait.
We got one.
No, we didn't. Not till next year.
Cinematic experience, my friend. Cinematic experience.
Yes,
which
sir.
Which is good enough for me. It'll keep the topic alive. And that's Ubisoft will want.
December 21st, 2016.
That's right.
Christmas movie.
Christmas movie, indeed. All right, we are at that hour mark, so we will bid you a farewell. We do thank you for listening. Do like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, respectively, at AAONCWAL599 for Wade. We are at Abundance Not. Facebook.com/AbundanceNot. With that, we'll catch you guys next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.